Today is our first Sunday back with two services after having one service over the summer months, and the Solanco Fair is quickly coming. It's cooler, fall is in the air, everyone's back to school, and it's been a few weeks now, and hopefully some routine is beginning to set in. Little Mary just came home from her first day at school and was asked by her mother, "Honey, what did you learn today?" And she said, "Not much." Then she said, "And I've got to go back tomorrow." Back to school, back to life, back to sort of the normal routine. That's where we are. That's the season we find us in. And today I want to challenge you to go back to school as well, but back to Sunday school. Do you know that September is Christian Education Month? It is. And at the heart of Christian education is the idea of discipleship. And discipleship is sort of a worn-out word in the church today, but discipleship is really about continuing to grow in our faith, continuing to grow and become more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we're to go and to make disciples. Disciples, that's faithful followers of Jesus. That's been the purpose of McKenna Grove Church of the Brethren for over 127 years now. And it continues to be a focus of our ministries. We do that by growing deeper through Christian education and discipleship ministries. And for some of us, maybe it's time to go back to school as well. Not the public school, but back to Sunday school. One of the great teachings that Jesus gives us comes very early in his ministry, and it went like this. He says, "A wise man built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Both men had storms in their lives. Both men each had a house. The difference was what? The foundation. The foundation. And so it's important that we have a strong foundation. Jesus uses this illustration to show the difference between simply hearing Jesus' words, but hearing them and putting them into practice. That's why he's telling this little story, this little parable. So friends, let me ask you this morning, what are you building your spiritual life upon? The text for the message this morning comes from Paul's writing, from 2 Timothy. And it's a letter, it's actually the last letter that Paul writes, and he's writing to a young pastor, Timothy, and he's encouraging him in the ministry that God has for him. And again, these are some of Paul's final words. And this was someone that he knew very well. He had trained and mentored Timothy. He had been like a son to Paul. And now he's writing to encourage him to keep growing in his faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is our text, verses 10 through 17. For our message is today entitled, Back to School, Sunday School. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The first point we want to make this morning comes in the first part of this text. Paul reminds Timothy of all that he taught him, all that he was taught. And that's the point I want to make is, remember what you have learned. Remember what you have learned. Think about it. Some of you have been in Sunday school for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Remember what you have learned. Remember the things that you were taught as a child and as a younger person growing up in the church. Paul says, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith. Timothy was converted to Christ on Paul's first missionary journey, and on Paul's second missionary journey, Timothy joins Paul, and he becomes a disciple, someone who is mentored by Paul. Paul poured his life into Timothy. Paul was his Sunday school teacher, his pastor, his mentor, his spiritual father, all in one. Paul is now facing death, and he says to young Timothy, hey, remember what I taught you? Remember what I taught you? Remember how I lived out my faith before you? How quickly we can forget what we have learned from years before. Paul is talking here about two ways in which we learn and grow, and one of those is by instruction, and one is by example. By instruction, we're talking about the teaching of the Word of God. Instruction in the Word. That's one of the ways in which we continue to grow, is we continue to engage God's Word, and we're taught God's Word. We have that's been done well here at Mechanic Grove through Sunday school, through small groups, Bible studies, through our children's ministry. We are committed, like Paul, to instructing disciples on what God's Word has for us, what it tells us. But Paul says also to think about my life, he says. Think about how I lived before you. Think about the example I showed you. So we learn by instruction, but we also learn by the example of others, by how we see other people living out their faith. The example that Paul set for Timothy, particularly when his life was threatened, had to be pretty powerful. Timothy was there when he saw when Paul's life was being threatened and how he responded to that. Remember that, Paul says. Many times our example is far more impactful than our words. Remember what you have learned, Paul says. Hold fast to the word of the Lord. Live out the teaching. I heard a pastor say not too long ago that Christians today have an obedience problem. They don't believe in obeying God's word. I think we have more of a memory problem. We forget what we have learned. And we're not living out what we have learned. We're not applying it to our lives. A number of years ago now, there was a television show called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Remember that TV show? And I remember it came out, and Molly, our oldest, was just in middle school at the time, and she really loved this show. And so we had to watch this show every night. And so as we began watching this, you know, I can't remember anyone who ever made it to the end of that show and won the jackpot. They either missed a question or they didn't know the answer and they dropped out of school. And here's the thing. I suspect that every one of them probably learned the answer to the questions that were before them. They simply didn't remember. They didn't remember. And that's like us in the Christian faith. We've been taught so many things over the years, but we forget. And we need to be reminded. And that's why we continue to engage in God's Word, so that we will remember. We've had countless sermons. We've had how many Bible studies and small group experiences we have been through. But yet we continue to forget to apply God's Word in our lives. So we need to go back to Sunday school. We need to continue to grow in our faith. Paul then reminds Timothy of all the persecution he's endured and tells him that he's too. Timothy, you're going to face persecution as well. And then he gives a charge or a challenge to young Timothy in verses 14 and 15. He said, but as for you, he says, continue in what you have learned. And he reminds him that he has known the Scriptures all his life, but he has to keep learning more. Keep learning more. The point I want to make is this. We need to continue to study the Scriptures. We never reach a point where we have it all figured out. We know all that there is to know about God's Word. We have to continue to grow in our faith and study the Scriptures. Timothy, Paul says, you've got some growing to do. Continue in what you've learned, but continue to study the Scriptures as well. You know, I have been blessed. I have been blessed to sit under some amazing Bible teachers in my life. Some of them were professors in seminary. People who knew the original languages or Hebrew and Greek and could just give tremendous insights into the Scriptures. But also a number of lay people who were just tremendous Bible teachers. One of them I remember well was a guy named Dennis Smith, who loved to teach adult Sunday school at my very first church, the Martinsburg Church of God. Loved the Word and just was a tremendous Bible teacher. And people would come just to hear Dennis teach the Bible and then maybe go to another church for worship. That's how well he was received. He loved to teach the Word of God. And you know, we have a great history of some tremendous Bible teachers here at Mechanic Grove as well. Amos Cunningham was a tremendous Bible teacher and loved to teach the Word of God. And there are countless others. There are many today who are serving as adult Sunday school teachers who are tremendous students of the Bible and continue to grow in their faith as they continue to study God's Word. You see, friends, we all need to go back to school. We need to go back to Sunday school. We all need to be studying God's Word together, growing in our faith, because we haven't figured it all out yet. We don't have all the answers. There's still room for us to grow. There's a third point that is found in verse 16, and Paul says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." All Scripture, not some, but all Scripture is God-breathed. And look what Scripture can do. It can teach, it can rebuke, it can correct, it can train in righteousness. There is a tremendous blessing and value in studying and applying the Word of God to our lives. And here is the point Paul is making to Timothy, and I think he's making it to you and me as well, and is allow God's Word to transform you. Allow His Word to transform you. Studying God's Word will change you, because the more you study God's Word, the more God's Word gets into you, and the more it will change you. It will change you to become more like Jesus. Friends, this is God's Word, and the more we study it, the more we read it and apply it to our lives, the more we will be like Jesus. This book is the greatest spiritual workout tool there is. Because look at what Paul says. It's useful for teaching, training, rebuking, correcting, all these things God's Word does for us. A famous person once said, "Within the covers of this single book, the Bible, are all the answers to all the problems that face us today. If only we would read it and believe." Now, who was that that said that great phrase? Was it someone famous like Billy Graham or maybe Mother Teresa? It was actually Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan praising the Bible for all that it does to change us. You see, friends, the Bible has got a lot of common sense in it. It really does. And when we get into God's Word and allow God's Word to get into us, you know what it does? It begins to change us. It begins to make us become more and more like Jesus. And that's why we need to go back to school. You see, friends, when it comes to our spiritual growth, we need to allow God's Word to transform us. We still got some learning to do. We need to go back to school. I remember about 7 years ago now, I had applied for a PhD program in nonprofit leadership through Indiana University of Pennsylvania. They were holding classes at the Dixon Center in Harrisburg, so it was real local for me, and so I applied, and amazingly got accepted into this program. And I was all excited. I thought, this is great. I'm going to be able to get a PhD, and wow, this would be wonderful. And I remember I went to the very first class, and I sat in that class, and my eyes were like this big. And I realized that I was well outside my comfort zone. My higher education skills were long gone. And I knew I was treading water in the deep end of the pool. And after a very restless night where I couldn't sleep, I decided I needed to withdraw because I didn't have the necessary skills and to do this kind of work, to pursue this kind of degree. And so I had to drop out. I had to drop out. But realizing that, you know what, I got some more learning to do is something we all need to recognize as well. That when it comes to God's Word, we don't have it all figured out. There's more instruction, there's more teaching, there's more application we can do. Lastly, Paul says to Timothy, if you allow the Scriptures to transform you, it will prepare you for God's work And that's our final word this morning, our final point. Studying God's Word prepares you for God's work, for the ministry that God has for you. As we begin, continue to study God's Word and allow it to change us, you know what? We become better equipped to serve the Lord. Paul says in verse 17, so that you may be equipped for every good work. Friends, that passage isn't just for pastors. That's for all of us, for every believer of Jesus Christ. We need the transformative power of the Word working in us. Remember the illustration that we began this sermon with about the man who built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon the rock? One of those houses stood the storms of life. But which house was it? It was the one built on a solid foundation. One built on the Word of God. And that's what we need. We need that solid foundation in our lives. So are you growing deeper spiritually? Or are you like me and need to go back to Sunday school? Let me suggest three ways in which we can be prepared for God's work. First, we should, in a real sense, preach the gospel to ourselves every day. We should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Our salvation should be celebrated every day. Jerry Bridges wrote a book a number of years ago entitled The Discipline of Grace, and he said it this way. He said, to preach the gospel to yourself then means that you continually face up to your own sinfulness and then flee to Jesus through faith in his shed blood and righteous life. It means that you have appropriate, again, by faith, the fact that Jesus fully satisfied the law of God and that he has been your propitiation and that God's holy wrath is no longer directed towards you. There is an old hymn that says, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And so in a real sense, we should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. When you wake up in the morning, it doesn't mean you have to preach the gospel to yourself or recite John 3:16, but you need to be reminded that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, that God has satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice on my behalf. Paul obviously had that in mind, not just here in this letter, but also in the letter to the Philippians, because he told the Philippian Christians, he said, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, continue to be reminded of what salvation means, of the significance of Christ's atoning death for you. Remind yourself constantly of the good news. Preach the gospel to yourself daily, and you'll find yourself growing deeper spiritually. Second, Paul says to his letter, in Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. You want to continue to grow in your faith, then continue to be active in ministry. Be active in ministry. Ministry has a tremendous way of growing us deeper spiritually. Take a missions trip with someone or with a group sometime. You'll find yourself growing spiritually. Be active in the ministry of the church, and you'll be growing deeper. I remember the story in the Gospels of Jesus in the home of Mary and Martha. And Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus as he's teaching, and Martha's out in the kitchen, all hot and bothered, making the meal for the mob of people that have come into her house. And Jesus does what? He praises Mary. He praises Mary for sitting at his feet and listening. And Martha, of course, says, why don't you tell her to get up and help me? And Jesus says, Mary has chosen what is better, what is more important. You know, many of us are Marthas. We are doers. Give us something to do and we'll do it. But you know what? Even the Marthas, even the doers, need to spend time at the feet of Jesus, need to be growing deeper spiritually. Active ministry helps us to grow deeper. And as we grow, we will be led to a more active ministry. And lastly, we continue to grow through active worship. Daily private worship, weekly corporate worship is another way we grow deeper spiritually. And when Sunday morning becomes optional, you know what? It's hard to continue to grow deeper spiritually. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This letter was written about 40 years after the resurrection of Jesus. The church had been established, and what was happening? People began thinking Jesus was coming back any moment, so they didn't need to meet anymore. They didn't need to come together and worship, to come together and study God's Word, because Jesus was coming back any moment. So why continue to worship together? Active worship is the key to growing deeper spiritually. And not just showing up to drink coffee on Sunday morning and talk to so-and-so, but come anticipating that God's going to speak truth into my life today. And I'm going to grow deeper spiritually because I was in the house of the Lord with God's people on this Lord's day. Friends, are you growing spiritually? If not, then perhaps it's time to go back to school, back to Sunday school. Get into God's Word so more of God's Word gets into you. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forevermore. Amen." That's why we must go back to school, because we got some growing to do. We all have some growing to do. So let's grow to become more and more like Jesus. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word today. This challenge that we need to continue to grow in our faith. Continue to be engaged in Your word, to be active in ministry. To remind ourselves each day that You have wonderfully saved us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for Your word to us. May it resonate in our hearts this day. And may it convict us and challenge us to go back to school, back to Sunday school. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.